Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Last week we were into biting and devouring one another. Consuming one another and so on. We handled that. It's better to, by love, serve one another, isn't it? Yeah. In verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. First of all, this I say sounds rather English, doesn't it? But it is from the Greek and Aramaic, and it's one of those sayings that, like, now my point is this. Now my point is this. Walk by the Spirit. And that Spirit is usage 5, which is the gift of Holy Spirit in manifestation. As a matter of fact, all 4 occurrences of Spirit in these 3 verses here, 16, 17, and 18, are all usage 5. It says, walk by the Spirit, the gift in manifestation, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the gift, in manifestation. And the Spirit, the gift in manifestation, lusts or desires rather against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would or desire to do or want to do. But if you be led by the Spirit, gift in manifestation, then you are not under the law. You have that greater law that we've read about in Romans, that law of God after the inward man. See, and that inner man, that inward man, that's that Christ in you, eyes behind your eyes, ears behind your ears, feet behind your feet, advanced class behind your advanced class. Remember? You got all those things. He's all in all of you. That was the line. So you've got it. And if you are led by the Spirit, the gift, in manifestation, then you are not under what? Law. You see, we have a much greater law. Now, it doesn't turn around and say, and if you are not led by the Spirit, then you are under law. See? Doesn't give that alternative. There's only one alternative from God's viewpoint, and that's to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Right? Right. You are not under law. See? So we might as well make up our minds that's the only way to go in this administration and put on the word that's addressed to us and walk by that Spirit in love, serving one another. See? Pretty neat stuff. Now back to verse 16. So walk by the Spirit, the gift in manifestation. And as you do that, you are not going to, and that word not is in Greek, a double negative. U, spelled O-U, and me, spelled M, long E. U, me. O-U, and M, long E. U, me. And it, when it has a double negative, it means absolutely not. Or no way, Jose. The Aramaic is also emphatic. It's said in a little different way, but it is emphatic. So, if you walk by the Spirit in manifestation, then you will absolutely not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is no way you can. See? You will absolutely not fulfill. Now, the word fulfill is not plerao. It's teleo, spelled T-E-L-E, long O, teleo. T-E-L-E, long O. Now, telos, you know that means what? End. And this is a verb form that means to end or to complete, to fulfill, or to accomplish completely. Or another one, to carry out. To completion. To carry it out to completion. I like that one. I think it really draws a mind picture. To carry something out to completion. Or fulfill. I think in the King James is still one of the best translated, to fulfill it. Complete or fulfill all the way to the end. If you walk by the Spirit, you are absolutely not going to fulfill or carry out to completion the lust of the flesh. And of course, the flesh is the old man nature, the outside, as opposed to that inner man or that new man. It's the old man nature. And the word lust is the Greek word epithumia. 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 And it means desire. And it can be used of positive or negative desires. In Luke 22, verse 14. This is at the Last Supper. It's not the Passover, but he's instructing him there. In verse 14, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, epithumia, I have desired, the verb form, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But now he knew that he wouldn't, that he would be the Passover that year. But yet he had very great, there's a polypteton, with desire I have desired. I have greatly desired to eat this Passover with you. Now, if you say it's always negative, lust, then you got a problem with this word. Then Jesus lusted to eat this Passover. No, it's he desired with great desire to eat that. It was a longing. It was an emotional tugging on the heart to eat this Passover. See? But now he knew he would be the Passover that year. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's used in the negative sense. And there's many other examples, but these are just two to show you. 4:22, that you put off concerning the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires. Some desires then are deceitful in nature. They work on you in a negative way. Deceitful desires. Put off that old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful desires. Epithumia. Now, back to Galatians. Here, of course, it would be the negative. The desires of the flesh. Those deceitful ones that corrupt. Now, this word epithumia, a root that's in there is thumos. You see that? T-H-U-M-O-S. Thumos. T-H-U-M-O-S. And that word thumos means, now listen to this, heat, passion, anger, or rage. That's its, the broadness of its meaning. Heat, passion, anger, and rage. So all those things are like heat. See what I mean? Your emotions. Passion, isn't that? You talk about getting hot, right? Anger, you talk about getting hot under the collar. See? Heat. Because of the emotion that's involved in those desires, epithumia. Now, they can be good emotions, like Jesus. He had a great desire to eat it, but he was master of his emotions. He didn't let his emotions control and guide his life. See that? We have to be master of our emotions. Emotions are not necessarily bad. See? God put them in your system for a reason. But emotions, you have to be in control of those emotions rather than them controlling you. You know, if it weren't for like a natural fear, and you're walking through the woods and the bear comes upon you, you'd stop and reason it out, right? Whether you should run or not. But that instantaneous feeling that you get at that time, not fear that's standing in the machinery of life, but that natural fear, whatever it is, that sudden fear, that thing that comes upon you that causes you to move, adrenaline, whatever you want to call it. But it dissipates in just a matter of minutes, you know, after the occasion's over. If not, you got a problem. So, but you've got to be a master of them. See? Well, these are desires. And here, walk by the Spirit, and you're not going to fulfill or complete or carry out to completion those desires of the old man nature. Now, James, remember, we're tempted in all things. And James gives us a real neat thing about this. Hebrews, James, chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with you, neither tempt the enemy. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desire. See that? That's when you're tempted. Is temptation sin? No, Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of those desires. So it's natural to have desires and to be tempted and enticed, but that is not sin. Then when that desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So if you let that desire control you, and tempt you to the point that it conceives, the baby's on the way, see? That's a great illustration. but you see, you cannot let it control you. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, but without sin, because he was in control of his emotions, see? Nothing wrong with emotions. It's a matter of, are you in control, or do they control you? Now back to Galatians. See, if you walk by the Spirit, then who's in control? You are, see, by the freedom of your will. Remember the statement, if I can remember, reason holds the same relation to spirit that the body does to reason. Because, you know, if reason gets out of control, it does something to the body. And if the Spirit is not, you don't walk by that. It's uncontrolled. That would affect the reason, your mind. See? In other words, if you let yourself go, if you don't walk by that spirit, then what happens to your reason? It's sort of manipulated. And then what happens to the body? Problems develop, see? So, walk by the Spirit in manifestation, and you shall not carry out to completion or fulfill the desires of that old man nature. You'll have them, but you won't carry them out to completion. See? To where it controls you. Then you're in control. Verse 17. For the flesh desires, that's the verb form, lust or desires in that negative sense, contrary against the Spirit. It's repugnant. It desires those things that are repugnant to the Spirit in manifestation. Your old man nature, the flesh, desires things that are repugnant, contrary, against that which is desired by the Spirit in manifestation. And the Spirit in manifestation desires those things which are contrary or repugnant against the old man nature. So now you got the two set up against each other. And these are contrary the one to the other. And I'd like to point out that you see the flesh, spirit, spirit, flesh. Flesh against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. You got them in reverse order. Flesh, spirit, spirit, flesh. That's a figure of speech. This particular one is, and not every time when you have flesh, spirit, spirit, flesh, would it be this figure, but because I'll define it, then you'll see why. It's antimetabole, spelled A-N-T-I-M-E-T-A-B-O-L-E, antimetabole. A-N-T-I-M-E-T-A-B-O-L-E. That's the repetition of words in reverse order for the purpose of opposing one thing to another. Now you could have things in reverse order that wouldn't be opposed to each other, understand? That would be a different figure. Under this figure, antimetabole, you repeat the words in reverse order for the purpose of really magnifying or emphasizing that opposition they are to each other. Flesh against spirit and spirit against flesh. See? I'll show you a couple others in Genesis chapter 4. See, if they don't oppose each other, then it's some other figure. But this is the repetition of words in reverse order for the purpose of opposing one thing to the other. Genesis 4, verse 4, and Abel. He also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Respect and offering. Then verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. See it? Respect, offering, offering, not respect. The one, Abel, contrary to the other one, Cain, the one had respect, the other one not respect. You see how they're set against each other in reverse order here. Had respect unto Abel and his offering, and unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. 2 Chronicles 32. Here you've got the record of Hezekiah versus Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Well, anyway, verse 7. Be strong and courageous, and be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. Don't worry about him. For there be more with us than with him. With us and with him. Got it? Then he repeats it. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battle. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. See? With us and with him. With him, the flesh. With us, God. See the reverse order? And they're opposing things, and it really puts the oomph to it. Oomph, is that a word? Is it? How you spell it? O-M-P-H-U-M. And that's an English word. Okay. Where were we? Oh, back to Galatians. You see the contrasting, the opposition? So here in verse 17, you have the flesh, the old man nature. The flesh desires that which is repugnant to the spirit in manifestation. And the spirit in manifestation desires that which is repugnant to the flesh. They're contrary. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that, or to the end that, its result, it's not purpose. So that does not indicate purpose here. It indicates the result of that conflict between the old man nature and the spirit in manifestation. Because, you know, you've got those things pop up in your old man nature from time to time. At the same time, you're wanting to walk by the spirit, and you got the big battle going on, the conflict. The wars may come, see? So that, with the result that you cannot do the things that you would, the things that you want to do, the things that you really spiritually desire to do. Sounds like Romans 7, doesn't it? Look at it. Romans 7, 15. For that which I do, I approve not. I allow not. I approve not. You know, I don't approve of what I'm doing. Well, why do you do it, dummy? Well, for what I would, what I do want to do, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. You know, I'm constantly doing things I don't want to do and not doing things I do want to do. Does this sound like a conflict between the old man nature, the flesh, and the spirit in manifestation, the new man? It sure do. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, if I do what I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it's good. I need it. I need the law to keep me in line, because I can't do it. I'm constantly doing things I don't want to do, so I must need a law, right? Now then, it's no more I that do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. Where in me? In the flesh area. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In that old man nature, nothing good about it. And there's nothing you can do to improve it. For to will, the desire, is present with me, but how to perform it, how to do it, that which is good, I just don't find it. For the good that I would, I do not. The good that I do want to do, I don't do. But the evil that I would not, that I don't want to do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Where in me? In the flesh, the old man nature. So I find then a law. I must need a law, so I find then a law. In that situation when I want to do good, and yet evil is present with me. I need a law. So let's get one. Old Testament, or let's make up some new ones. No, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Usage 5, spirit in manifestation. The law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring. What though wars may come? Against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, the flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this dead body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. I make up my mind with my reasoning abilities and that mind of Christ I have within me to serve that law of God. But with the flesh, the old man nature, the law of sin still bugging me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That means in fellowship. The rest of the verse is not in most of the text. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that law after the inward man, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So I've been made free spiritually from it. It's just in the flesh. It still keeps popping up and it keeps wanting to put me under, making me do what I don't want to do. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Didn't condemn the people, he condemned the sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And they that are after the flesh do mind or think the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, what do they think? The things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or the fleshly thoughts, are death. If you just hang on to that old man nature, it's going to bring death. But spiritual thoughts in your mind, what do they bring? Life and peace. And where do you get those from? Reading the word that's addressed to us and walking by that Spirit in manifestation. Because the fleshly thoughts are enmity against God. You know, contrary. Flesh is repugnant against the Spirit, desires that which is repugnant against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires that which is repugnant to the flesh. The carnal thoughts are enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God after the inward man, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, walking by anything in the flesh category, cannot please God. You cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Can you do anything to improve a dead body? But the Spirit is what? Life, because of righteousness. So the only way to have life and peace is walk by that Spirit in manifestation. Now I want you to stay here in Romans 7 and listen to a tape Dr. Werwolf taught in the University of Life, Romans, Part 2, Lesson 1, Tape 1, that covers this Romans 7 section.
I closed with Romans chapter 7, verse 12, where we read, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." I opened this year with one of the most misunderstood and controversial sections of God's Word in the whole Bible. Romans 7, 13 to 25. This section of God's Word deals in great depth with the truth regarding the renewed mind and the key to power. Or the battle of the senses versus revelation believing. Or the battle of the old man against the new man. Let's read Romans 7, beginning with verse 13. "What then? That which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." Verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, given by God. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate or dislike, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent or agree unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not." Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "I thank whom? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." The primary will of God for every believer is many times, far removed from its outworking in the life of the believer. The ideal, the Word of God and will of God, and the experiential. For far too many believers, maybe years apart. For instance, Israel. When God told Moses to tell the children of Israel that it was time to leave for the promised land and that they were to exit, he told them that they were to cross the Red Sea and go into the promised land. So when Israel exited from Egypt, they did cross the Red Sea. Even though they were to move quickly into the promised land, which was the word of God and the will of God, the primary will of God, they never moved in quickly. Instead, it took them 40 years to get in the promised land. So the ideal, the will of God, the ideal will of God, the word of God, was years separated from the reality experientially of the fulfillment of that word in their life. This is the record of Romans 7 that I've just read. The delivered believer class should immediately, after he's born again, possess his legal sonship rights. The more abundant life. More than conquerors. I can do all things through whom? Which strengthens me. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, heaven above, earth beneath. Every believer should claim and use his God-given ability immediately. This is the primary will of God. This is the word of God to the believer. To use his power of attorney. When we are born again at that moment, of us it is true, beloved, now are we what? The sons of God. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ as our intercessor. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It is being filled with all the fullness of God. But the practical experience, as I have observed it through the years and as I see it in the Word, for most believers, indicates a different route of travel. Why? Because our old man is not quickly enough replaced by the new man. And so we remain in the conflict, experiencing or continuing to experience the captivity of the law of sin that resides in the body of the old man, continuing to have its outworking through man's unrenewed mind. The tendency for most believers after they're born again is to continue with the added light that they have to work on themselves, to subdue the flesh, by better works, by better habits, by rules, by regulations, by resolutions for holy living, especially New Year's. Ad infinitum. Always subdue the flesh. They're ignorant of the truth, experientially, that the old man, unrenewed mind, knows no rules. And that the new man, renewed mind, needs no rules. One is the law of sin and death. The other is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Newness of life. Instead of simply and believingly just reckoning the old man dead, to have died with and in Christ, experientially, many continue seeking to put it to death. Instead of reckoning the old man crucified with Christ, we continue to believe we must crucify it for ourselves. But God crucified it once and for all with Christ. And once is enough. It cannot be more. It cannot be crucified again and again. He has done it. He has done it in himself on Calvary. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was, is the text, crucified with him. The old man was what? Crucified. If he was crucified, then he can't be crucified again. He is what? Crucified. That settles it. Look at Galatians. Chapter 2. Galatians 2. Verse 20. I was crucified with whom? It's past tense. It's over with. I was crucified with Christ. Look at Galatians 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It has been crucified for them. In 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the Lord Jesus Christ, the world, was crucified unto me, and I unto what? The world. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the what? So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man, anyone, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the outward ordinances of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the head God, bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all, over all, or of all, principality and power, in whom also ye were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by who? The circumcision of whom? Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation, the energeko of God, who hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him, Jesus Christ, having forgiven you all what? Trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16, let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day, or of the new moon or the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of what? Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of what? Goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And now, in spite of the conflict between the old man, unrenewed mind, and the new man, renewed mind, in spite of the flesh, the old man, lusting against the Spirit, the new man, in spite of the fact that the flesh and the Spirit are contrary one to the other and contradict each other, so that we cannot do the evil which the flesh, the old man, would have us do, and we thus also do not do the good which the Spirit, the new man, would have us do, we still have peace with God. We have rest for our souls. We have passed from death to life. The conflict may be actual, experientially ever present with us, but having died with Christ, the law of sin and death has no longer dominion over us. We have passed from death to life. We have more abundant life. We are more than conquerors. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I believe, Core, that the learning of the great lesson of life, at least one of the great lessons of life, is that the old man is so evil and bad that nothing can ever improve it. And the new man is so perfect that it needs no improvement. The change occurs when we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. I believe that perhaps Galatians chapter 5 capsulizes for every believer this entire section of Romans 7, 13 to 25. Galatians 5. I want to begin with verse 16. This I say then, Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of what? For, verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the what? And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit or of the Spirit, ye are not under the law of sin and what? Death. I think that capitalizes the whole difficult section of Romans 7, 13 to 25. And one of the greatest things that we have to maintain in our life is the stability and the growth on the greatness of God's Word. An endeavor in our lives to make the reality of the Word that we know become in concretion for us a truth now. That it's no longer the ideal is over here and the reality of it experientially becomes ours 20 years from now. Or if you're born again of God's Spirit, you're a son at that moment. Sonship is not dependent on how long you've been in. It's dependent upon birth. And the youngest son in the family has the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as the oldest son. Therefore, it's not a matter of the Word or the will of God any longer. It's a matter of believing it, utilizing it, so that the law of sin and death no longer has that power over us. The captivity is no longer enslaving us. We are not subduing the flesh. We are putting on the mind of Christ, working the Word, believing the Word, and walking on that Word. And that will also require some prayer.
Okay, isn't that tremendous? We are not subduing the flesh. We are putting on the mind of Christ, working the Word, believing the Word, and walking on that Word. Some great lines in there. Verse 18 again says, but if ye be led of or by the Spirit, the gift in manifestation, ye are not under the law. See? And if we could just get from away from that, like he said, where it's the ideal, and then 20 years from now, the experiential. You know, you're a son of God now. It's a matter of believing that word, living it, walking upon it, and walking by that Spirit, being led by the Spirit, then you are not under law. Remember, what we lost in Adam, we gained back at Pentecost, what Christ did for us, but it's unconditional, a lot more, see? It's unconditional. And I thought, too, walking by the Spirit in manifestation, remember, he shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. You know, it burns up the chaff in your life, because that's what the Spirit does. It burns up that chaff in your life. It cleanses you. And as you walk by that Spirit, it burns up the chaff in your walk and in your life. And what other way is there to go? And especially coming to burning the chaff day that's coming up real soon. So, Father, thank you for the night and your word. Thank you for people that love you and love your word. And, Father, thank you for the reality of your presence within us, that we can walk with you and be constantly aware of your presence and know that you're there to love us, to guide us and direct us and give us the things that we need in life, that you've already given them to us, and we just, Father, have to believe it and live it and enjoy it. So we thank you for this night together in your word and for the lives of people being changed by the core as they go out light bearers in the near future, holding forth the great light of your word, and for blessing everyone throughout the entire world who loves you this wonderful day through Christ Jesus. Amen.